So I want to continue with our theme that we've been doing over the last few weeks, which is Romans. Been looking at a chapter of Romans each week, and we're up to Romans chapter 5. And it's been great because each chapter we've been building and seeing that the teaching of Paul and he's been building upon systematically, revealing one truth, and then in the next chapter revealing another, and then the next chapter just building upon that. And it's been exciting and interesting to kind of just go through and see how he's been building. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about just how bad things can get when people choose to make idols out of other things and choose to turn away from God. In Romans chapter 2, he talks very sternly about not being critical and judgmental against other people, especially when we are accusing people of the very things that we're doing secretly. And he says that's the worst kind of being judgmental. Don't do that, Paul says. Concentrate upon yourself and your own faith life, and God will deal with other people. In Romans chapter 4, he talks about the deep level of grace that has been given to us, extended towards us, so that although we should be being judged by God, actually, when he looks at us, he says we're innocent. And it comes through us accepting what Jesus did on the cross. And so we come to Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read that. There is 21 verses. But again, it's good just to read through and meditate upon and let the word of God just sink into us. So I'm going to read. In my Bible here, the title here is Peace and Joy. So who could do with some peace and joy today? Yeah, that's great, isn't it? That's what God wants to do. So this is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Verse 12. Are you still with me? Fantastic. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of from Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern for the one to come. Verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God was not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man's death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? We'll explain actually what some of this is meaning if you say, well, actually, I don't really understand what he's saying here. Verse 18, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man the many were made sinners, so also the obedience of one man the many will be made righteous. The law was added so the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign throughout righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul explains, you've got to realize that up to getting to this point, he's explained what it means to be justified, he's explained about the righteousness of God, he's come to this point, and he's now built up to explain this amazing truth that basically through Jesus we can be completely forgiven of our sins. And as I've said many times, no potion, no pill, no self-help group, no counseling, nothing can give you what Jesus can give you, which is forgiveness of sins, to be classed as innocent before God. And it's what so many people want, a guilt-free life. And only Jesus can offer that. And that's what he's talking about here. And talking about actually how practically being a Christian isn't just something that is just a theory. It's something that practically impacts our life, doesn't it? Every day when we wake up in the morning and we should be having a bad day, we've got a reason to smile because we're no longer condemned, but we've been washed. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been counted as innocent. And a great thing, as it said there, peace and joy, the result of knowing that we are righteous and in right standing with God and we can have a relationship with God is that we can have peace in our heart. And, that's one of the greatest things that people are looking for in this world, is to have peace and is to have a certainty, and God can give that. And also the measure that we've been forgiven, we have something to give to other people. I love it when I hear people say that I had the ability to go and make reconciliation, make things right between me and this person that I'd fallen out with. And the reason they were able to do that was because they had received peace in their heart. They had received forgiveness from God. Therefore, they had a reason and a motive to be able to extend that to somebody else. So this is not just a theory. This is something that actually makes a difference. It transforms lives. It transforms marriages. I don't think they're here, so I can say, even our neighbors were saying actually how this concept of knowing forgiveness from God meant that they were able to be reconciled with members of their family. And these are people, Claire and Tony aren't here, are they? No, that's all right. We can talk about them because they're not here. Just don't tell them. It was great to be able to see that even as a somebody that were just understanding and grasping what it means to have a relationship with God, they were putting into practice actually the fundamentals of having relationship with God. So Romans 5 says that we can have access to God's grace. So that means that we have a reason to rejoice, even as it says, in the difficult and challenging times, because we know actually that behind everything, God's at work, and behind everything, God's making sense of our lives. Paul reminds us of God's love shown through the death and the life of Jesus. And at the end of Romans 5, he talks about how we can be saved from our sins and through and of the judgment through faith in Jesus. Reading that, I'm thinking that is amazing, amazing, amazing news. Many of us are Christians here. Many of us have been Christians a long time. And in some ways, I think that we get complacent with what it means to know God and to, as I say, to be forgiven of our sins. Everything that we've done wrong, all the shame, all the guilt, all of the stuff that many of us, there are things in our lives that many of us won't even tell those that are even closest to us. Things we've done or things that have been done to us that we would never tell anybody else. Things that can, if we don't get forgiven of those things or healed of those things, can have a big impact upon the direction that our lives take. And God, in his mercy and in his power and what he did in Jesus dying on the cross, can come into a person's life and totally transform a person. And so I'm excited about this fantastic news that Romans 5 tells us about. The word that I want to, one of the things I want to pick up just very quickly, just spend a few moments looking at this morning is grace. Grace. That's what I want to just look at in the next 10 minutes. So we will be finishing early today. Everybody can just breathe a sigh of relief. So there's the coffee is out there brewing and the cakes are waiting. So just prepare yourself. Okay. Grace. The word grace comes from the Greek word, which is charis, which means a gift. And it means also a divine blessing, unmerited favor. And I came across an illustration of what grace is. It's about I'll read it to you. A woman was speeding and got pulled over by a police officer. This isn't a joke, although it sounds like it's going to be a joke. It's not a joke. When the officer got ready to write the ticket, the woman said, "Please, officer, let me off with a warning this time. I've learned my lesson. I won't do it again." Now, if the officer agreed and just gave her a warning, it would be an example of mercy. However, if the officer said, "I'm a man of the law and I must uphold it. You were speeding, so I'm going to give you a ticket," that would be an example of justice. However, if the officer said, "I'm a man of the law, I must write you a ticket, but what I'm going to do is I am going to pay for it myself," that would be an example of grace. And the grace we're talking about is that Jesus has taken our place. Every punishment, every curse that was due to come upon us has been taken upon himself. He stood in the place of judgment for us so that we may be acquitted. Now, apparently in Romans chapter 5, grace is used more than any other, or more times than any other chapter in the Bible. And I think that's because Paul wanted us to know that what we've received from God and who we've become, everything, every single thing that you have, isn't because you've done it, or because you're a nice person, or because you dress nicely, or you live in a smart house. It's because of God's grace to you. And you know what? You and I, we don't deserve it. But it's the very reason that we don't deserve it, and the fact that God gives us his love and gives us his forgiveness, is the fact that we are living under God's grace. Do you know, when you talk to people, people think that God is a God who just wants to give us a hard time. Have you spoken to people like that? When they think about God, they just think he's in the sky with a ruler, just wanting to kind of like, whoosh. You know, every time we step out of line to, God's not like that. You know, God loves to and desires to lavish his love upon his people and upon you. So if you're sitting here today, you're not an object of God's wrath. You're somebody that God wants to lavish his love upon. He wants to lavish blessing upon. He wants to be generous to. He wants to fulfill your life and bring meaning to our life. And the Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. And so God wants to be merciful. He wants to be generous. He wants to be loving. He wants you to be fulfilled. And he wants everybody to be in a place where they're just walking, knowing that they have peace with God and that they're, in the sight of God, classed as innocent. So just quickly then, verses 1 to 5 talk about how we have life and freedom in God's grace. And God's grace is receiving from him everything that we don't deserve. And God's grace doesn't come upon people that are nice or just churchgoers. You don't have to just be people that have got your life sorted out. Anybody who will come and say, "God, I need your help," God's mercy and God's love can be extended to them. And, you know, when God sees the image of his son in us, that is what makes us acceptable to God. And it isn't the fact that we're living by Christian values or doing good things. What God wants to see is that we are trusting in his son. And when we come before God and we say, God, I need you to forgive me, and God sees in us the image of his Son, his grace and his mercy, his forgiveness is extended towards us. And I think it's amazing to know that God is in control of our lives. And Paul says that this faith that we have is going to change how we think, and it's going to change how we interpret the world around us and see things happen in our lives. It says there in verse 3 and 5, he says that even knowing this peace, that when we go through tribulation and problems and challenge, that our reaction isn't going to be to blame God, but is actually going to see God at work. Isn't that amazing how knowing that we're connected into God, having God's peace, can actually change the way that we interpret the world around us? He is giving a testimony that he knows that all things will work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Paul's got a mission to tell us about the grace, the love, the forgiveness, the peace, the security, the fullness of life that God desires for every single person in this world. It was the same back there in the time of Paul, and it's the same for us today. Paul is saying that he knew getting hold of what God has done for us and how that impacts every area of our life, that we shouldn't live in a state of turmoil. God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to know that whatever we go through, whatever situations we face, that he's overcome it for us. And when we follow him, we get free. Verses 6 to 8 talks about the generosity of God's grace. And, you know, it says there that, God didn't wait for us to clean up our lives and straighten ourselves out or even invite him to come into our heart. It says that when we were dead in our trespasses, listen, this is really amazing. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Jesus came and died. And the point he's making here is, he says it's a rare thing that somebody would choose to die for somebody else. And when that happens, it's a remarkable thing. And you might be thinking, just think about it, who would you die for? Who are the people that you would say, yeah, I'd give up my life? So maybe your wife, maybe your husband. People that are married, please agree with me. I'm just getting worried. Your children? We would, wouldn't we? If they were in a place of danger, we would step in and rescue them so that our lives would be taken and our children could be free. So we've probably got a short list. We've got a list, maybe, of people that we would do that for, that we would give up our lives. You know, it's people do that in the army as well, don't they? They go into the army and they fight for their country. They fight for freedom. They give up their lives. And we should honor what those people do as well. But, you know, what Jesus did was he went beyond and above that. Do you know why? Because the Bible says that he didn't just do it for his select list of those that loved him. But Jesus did it for his enemies. It's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus was prepared to go to the cross and die while we were still sinners and why we didn't, before we didn't love him. He took the place, not only for those that loved him, but for his enemies. He died for us when we didn't love him, when we rejected him. That's the love, the mercy, the abundance of the grace and the love of God. Verses 9 and 11 show that we've got a future because of God's grace. So just imagine that God was willing to die for his enemies. And the Bible says, now just think about how amazing the love of God is for us who are his children. If he was prepared to do that for his enemies, how great is God going to treat us as his friends? And it says there in verse 10, we shall be saved by his life. That word saved also means to be delivered, would be delivered by his life. And the whole Bible is about God coming into the world and delivering us out of a place of total desperation and in need of him. And so whatever we have going on in our lives that we need to be delivered from, God can do it. And so, You might be sitting here thinking, I've got this need or that need. I'm telling you, this walking with God isn't just a theory or a concept, is it? It's a everyday relationship with God where we're seeing God's power impacting our lives, changing the way that we view the world, being delivered of problems and issues and great challenges that we face. And getting hold of this truth that actually you don't deserve it, yet even though you don't deserve it, God wants to give it to you. Because sometimes we think, I don't deserve it, then I won't receive it. I don't deserve it, so I can't receive it. I don't deserve it, so I will reject it. I'm not a good person, so I will reject God's love. You don't know who I am. I can't become a Christian because of what I've been through. And the very fact is that we are the very people that God wants to touch. None of us, however good we are, however good our lives are going to be good enough for us to be made acceptable to God. So if you're sitting here saying, actually, I'm not good enough, you're the very man, you're the very woman that God wants to touch. That's the message of the Bible. In verses 12 to 21, he talks there about that we have life because of God's grace. And if you read the end of Romans chapter 5 there, he talks about comparing Adam and Jesus. And he says that sin came into the world through Adam, but that righteousness also came into the world through one man, through Jesus. And that's the core message of the Bible, and that's why Jesus came. That because sin came into the world and messed things up, Jesus stepped forward and offered to restore things. But it would take a sacrifice to be able to restore that. And he was willing to stand in our place, to stand as a substitute. And this is the generosity that God has for us. It's his free gift. So just to finish, you know, there are, when we're offered a gift, there are two things that we can do. We can receive the gift, or we can reject or refuse the gift. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't anybody want this amazing free gift of life, of peace, of joy, of connection with God, forgiveness, classed as innocent, given us an opportunity to wake up in the morning and say, I've got something to live for. I've got a hope. I've got joy in this life, but also I've got a hope for eternal life. Why wouldn't we want that? Some, it might be because of unbelief. Some because people, we say, I can manage it on my own. I don't need God. Pride, maybe. A variety of different reasons. But in one sense, you know, it doesn't matter. If we don't receive God's gift, it will result in a life without God, without peace, without hope for the future. But Romans chapter 5 talks about that taking hold of the gift is to allow God to make us his child. Romans chapter 5 says that by doing that, that we begin to move into a place of abundance in this world and in beyond. As Christians, we're not just living, are we? Just, well, I want life insurance so that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. It's life in the fullness right now. And grace is the motive that God has for giving us everything that we don't deserve. If it wasn't for grace, then God wouldn't extend his hand of generosity towards us. We are dependent upon grace. Everything we've received is because of grace. And so just wanted to leave you with it. If you're a Christian here today, I want to encourage you to think again about the generosity of God. The generosity of God in giving to you and sharing with you all that he has. And that it came through Jesus willingly sacrificing his life. And all we had to do was to see our need, repent, and believe. Everything we have is because God chose to be gracious towards us. He chose to be generous towards us. He chose to love you, not because you did anything for it, but just because that is who his character is. And if you're someone here today, you say, well, actually, I need to be forgiven and I want to have this relationship with God, then you can receive him. And he won't only save you from your sins, but as it says there, he will pour into your life peace, joy, and hope, and love, and give you a reason to live for in this world. So I'm going to just pray, and let's just take a few moments just to gather our thoughts as we think what God's been saying to us through the passage that we've been reading today. Lord, we do pray that you would help us all to reflect upon just how blessed we are. Lord, we have nothing to complain about because we have the greatest gift, the pearl of great price. Lord, the very gift that money can't buy, the very gift that nobody can earn, so generous, Lord, that we just need to take it and receive it from you. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to understand and to walk with that assurance every day. That even though we feel we may not deserve it, you want to give us the gift. And I'd just like to pray a short prayer for anybody you say, actually, I'd like to come into that kind of relationship and have that understanding that when I come before God, God can see me as innocent. And you can pray this simple prayer with me in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me, your great generosity, your grace, that you would love me with all my sins, all my faults, yet still offer me this most amazing gift of salvation. Today I come to you to give you my life, to believe in you, to turn away from my sins, and to ask you to come and live inside of me. I ask that you become my Lord and my Savior, and that I may have the gift that this word today has been talking about. I thank you that you receive me as your child, and I thank you today I choose to become a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.